thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're joining the studio today as usual with Wally Wilty, and we got a special guest today. We got our own version of Big Tony. Big Ron's in the building. Go ahead and tell him what's up, Ron.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
Hey, man. As y'all know, man, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here my boy Wilty, Ray's out. That was Big Ron. For folks who don't know, Ron was a contributor to the Urban Sports Scene. Every once in a while, he would be a guest on the show.
Rest in peace, Big Homie.
Yeah, and today is his birthday, so rest in peace, Big Homie. But yeah, Ron had good content when he was on the show. Cool dude. And what was your, like, to the folks who don't know Ron, who listen to us, you know, weekly or whatnot, like, what was your like, give me a Ron story.
Well, you know, my history with Ron goes back a little bit further than you guys, but you guys were probably closer to him because, you know, you met him in college.
Exactly.
And you bonded over those 4 or 5 years, depending on who you talk to, how long they were there.
I know, right?
But, me and Ron, one of my favorite moments was we played AAU basketball together, and we played on a team that won the Virginia Goodwill Games.
Okay, so y'all
down in Roanoke. Down Roanoke, Virginia. So it was, you know, that team, we went down there with a kind of us against the world mentality. Mm-hmm. We blocked out everything, and we got the gold medal.
Oh, and being
able so we were able to be able to share that with Ron. It was probably one of my happier memories. Do I have a specific memory? Nah, but like that week we were down there.
Yeah.
And I remember we were 13 years old. And it was kind of a us versus the world mentality. We blocked out everything. We went down there with a mission, like it was a job, because we wanted to bring back a gold medal.
That's pretty tight. I know freshman year, you know, I met Ron in college freshman year. I'll never forget it. Uncle Harold and I were playing video games in his room. So Ron comes in. Like I've met Ron prior, but Harold was like, "Hey, let's play fight. Let's play fight with this dude, right?" So we had our hands up, our guards up, and then we didn't think Ron was gonna swing on us. Like we didn't. Like I didn't think Ron was gonna swing on me. So I got like, "What you gonna do? What you gonna do?" The dude punches me right in my chest, and I drop. And you got to see Ron. I mean, for folks who don't know, you have to actually see Ron, see how big this dude was. But like, drop me. I was like, dude, I'm just playing. I was like, I'm just playing. And that wasn't like a real punch by him. You know what I mean?
It was a playful jab.
A playful jab, and he just dropped me right in my chest. And I'm asthmatic. It's terrible, man. But rest in peace, Ron. Man, appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will, so you know how we usually do things, man.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
I missed this, man, because I had to do the voice. I missed this, man.
I'm not giving you the rights to record my voice.
I've done that already. I've done that before, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Skins defeating the Green Bay Packers 31-17. At 8:20, we'll make our Week 4 NFL picks. At 8:30, Truth About It's Washington Wizards reporter Truth Halliburton will join us to talk about the Wizards media day and training camp. At 8:40, we'll talk about Jimmy Butler trying to force a trade out of Minnesota. Finally, at 8:50, we will examine Anthony Joshua's 7th-round TKO of Alexander Povetkin. Wood from Bite Down Boxing will join us for that segment. But first, Sunday, the Skins beat the Green Bay Packers 31-17. I said this last week that if you gave Adrian Peterson the football and made him and, you know, was consistent and stubborn with the running game, this team would have a good chance to beat the Packers, and they did.
So how did you view the game? Did you go to the stadium as a media member?
Yeah, I was part of the media.
Watch the game, or did you sit hunkered down alone in a dark,
well, you know
secluded,
me so well.
Place and watched the game.
I was
a depressed and maddening fan.
I was part of the media.
Okay. That's what's up, man. So you, let me ask you this. Because I haven't watched a lot of football. Really haven't watched any football this year.
Yeah, I feel you.
Standing with Cap.
He got Nike. He doing it.
Yeah, there were reports that the stadium was halfway empty.
Where are you? Which game?
The last two games. The Colts game.
Yeah, the Colts was empty, and the other game wasn't empty. Just filled with Packers
Green
fans.
Bay?
Filled with Packers fans.
More Packers fans. You would say it's more Packers fans
easily
than
I feel
Washington
like
fans.
It was half, okay. Which is still a lot, though. You know, it's still a lot. I'll say this much. I saw a lot of green.
Wow.
Man. I saw a lot of green.
Well, but I don't want to get too far off track. Do you think it's kind of people are at the point where they're over this team, or is it because this team hasn't been a consistent winner? Or you
think it's a little bit of everything. A
combination of the stadium experience, because people just...
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's the perfect storm. One, obviously, when you don't have consistent or continued success, this is what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. The fan experience, that's a term that everyone's using, isn't the best. Also, if you're looking at some of the stuff, when even parking is an issue, still an issue.
I mean, traffic.
Traffic, expenses, the expense for tickets. And this team, again, if you add that into this team not being successful over a long period of time, you're looking at it like, okay, well, why do I need to spend this amount of money while just watching on TV?
Yeah, I never understood why they... And I don't want to get too far. This last point before, you know, we can get back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood why they didn't develop the land and build something around it
to make it a
game day experience. But,
yeah. You know what? That's the goal.
When they move to Loudoun County, that's what they'll do.
They'll move to D.C.
No, they'll move to Loudoun County.
I bet you D.C.
Trust me, my friend.
Trust me. D.C. The mayor already said what she's trying to do.
I don't care what she said. Follow the money.
I'm telling you.
Do you think the state of the Commonwealth of Virginia spent $10 million
on a
training camp facility?
I'm just telling
for them
you,
to
bro.
Be down there for 4 weeks.
I'm telling you, bro.
And that's all they getting out of it?
I'm telling you, bro. It's a bidding war, man.
Okay.
They still made Richmond a lot of money, though. They made Richmond a lot of money. So they probably, they don't owe Richmond anything. They made Richmond money.
They might. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, if I had to hedge my bets, it. Loudoun County.
I mean, I thought that initially. I'll stay on this. I thought that initially until momentum for DC kind of gained over the last couple years.
But you are the media, so you would know. I'm just a regular Joe, so you know it is. What
I
it
am.
Is.
You know what? You're right. I am the media.
Yes, you are.
I am the media.
You are part of the media.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't make me the end all be all of, you know, of the media. But I would like to say I'm a big part of the media. I'm a very
you
important
are.
Part.
You're Look,
I'm a very important part of the media.
You are, especially when it comes to covering this team.
Yeah, of course, man. And I'm saying, like, you know, last week when they played the Colts, they got away from the running game. Adrian Peterson's a running back, and we've seen over our lifetime of a guy who gets better as the games go on. He gets better as the season goes on, right? He's been that type of running back. So to see him go for 120. You know, only 18 carries. It wasn't surprising. I thought the weather played a big part in for this team beating Aaron Rodgers, even though he wasn't healthy. If you're playing a passing quarterback, a guy who that's his thing, it's not like he's using his legs, especially when Aaron Rodgers being hurt. With the weather conditions and the rain, obviously Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be at his tip top. Played at his tip top performance with the weather what it was on Sunday.
So I'll just say this: three games in, a guy who hasn't watched a lot of football and hasn't really followed this team a lot, did a little bit of research before I came.
I
want to be prepared.
Of course.
Three games into the season, to me it seems as if this team is their success is predicated on Adrian Peterson.
I agree.
His performance is an indicator of how this team will perform.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's been through the
first three games.
Of
that's a good point.
If it plays out for the rest of the 13 games, I don't know. But it seems as if Jay Gruden is more reliant, more confident in a run game this year and using that run game than he has in previous years.
I would say for the two victories, right?
Well, yeah,
for the two victories. the game against the Colts, he went away from the run. He got too cute, tried to drop back a little bit too much again against the what I'm not it doesn't matter who's against, but decided to get too cute and rely on the passing game. Again, when the formula was set in week one against the Arizona Cardinals, when you ran the football, you were successful. Why go away from something that works? We've seen that with all great coaches. And it's funny, and the thing about it is, even when we look at Philadelphia and the Eagles, right? When you look at Carson Wentz, you think, oh my God, they throw the ball left and right. But they have a great run. Last season, they had a really good running game.
An effective running game.
You know, it goes hand in hand. So when you have a guy like Adrian Peterson who looks like he has a lot left in the tank, why not utilize him? And I feel like you said, Will T, like you utilize Adrian, the Redskins utilize Adrian Peterson, it just shows that right now they're very competitive.
Yeah, they came out first play, took a shot with Paul Richardson, connected on that shot.
46-yard touchdown pass.
Then you also had pressure that was generated from your deep, from your D-line.
Yeah.
It's looking like the defensive line is a point, is a strength for this team this year with Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Matt Ioannidis. You aren't getting much production pass rushing sacks from your two outside linebackers, Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan. You know, if you would have thought that if someone had told you that Washington's defense is generating pressure up front, you would have thought that Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan will probably have like three sacks apiece.
Yeah, you would think that it would be them that was putting down the pressure. I'm with you. When you look at the Redskins defense, the Redskins front seven, it's been, to be honest with you, Matt Ioannidis, he's been the guy that's been getting the boatload of pressure. He has three sacks this season. He has a sack in each game this season. Finally, Jonathan Allen came out and played. He had two sacks just on Sunday. And the Redskins have been waiting for Jonathan Allen. You've always saw flashes with Payne, but you're right. Kerrigan and Preston Smith, they have to step up, and they haven't. And that's the thing they need to do. Like, Preston, because you're paying Kerrigan a nice load of money as a premier pass rusher, and he hasn't shown up.
The thing is with Preston Smith, isn't this
contractor?
It's a contract year, but isn't this the routine with him? Then towards the end of the year,
he gets hot. But he gets guard.
He gets like 6.5 sacks. But it's almost like 10 games.
It's almost like a Ryan Kerrigan, right? Kerrigan will look kind of, then all of a sudden he gets that tackle that may not be one of the better tackles in football, and he just feasts on that tackle, and then his stats get prorated. Same thing with Preston Smith at times. You want to see them step up when they're going against the best. You want to see that, and you want to see consistency. You want to, if not generating sacks, see at least generating pressure, right? That's what you want.
You miss Trent Murphy yet?
No, Trent Murphy's not anything to me. You know, he forced a fumble off of Kirk Cousins over the weekend. I mentioned Jonathan Allen had two sacks. I spoke to cornerback Josh Norman about the play.
Oh, you spoke to him?
Yeah,
I spoke to him. You went to the locker room?
Yeah.
That's your guy.
That's what I do. The play. I talked to Norman about the play of Allen, and this is what he had to say.
Jonathan Allen played too. He got sacked. The guy's like, come on, man. I think that's a lot of medicine. So when we're able to hold up like that, they can have as many sacks they want. I really don't care. As long as we get a W on the board, they can do their thing. And I'll sit back there and I'll congratulate them like I'm the number one cheerleader on their bench, you know? Gosh, man, it takes a lot off us. We just got to keep this going.
Is there a...
Yeah, it's J-No. They call him J-No. That's what they call him.
J-No, that's what they call him.
J-No. That's J-No. And J-No, he said it right. When those D-linemen are putting pressure on the quarterback, and everybody knows the secondary and D-line, they go hand in hand. When they put pressure, it makes the cornerbacks and the whole secondary looks better. So, but I'm just glad to see Jonathan Allen finally step up. He's a guy that this team needs to dominate. He was a first-round pick last season. They got his homeboy, Deron Payne. He had a sack, his first sack of the season against the Packers as well. So, if that front seven can continue to improve, this Redskins defense could be, you know, consistently one of the better defenses this whole season. I believe before yesterday's game, they were ranked. They had the best defense, total defense in the NFL.
That means absolutely nothing.
I'm just
absolutely nothing.
Why, man?
Well, first of all, it's a small sample size, mm-hmm. three games.
Yeah.
Two, you have to take in consideration the quality of the opponents.
Uh huh.
Three, you have to take into consideration the score. You know, mm-hmm. is it a situation where you're blowing guys out, then you're running the ball, playing, you know, clock control, mm-hmm. things like that. You know what I care about?
What?
Are you creating pressure and creating turnovers?
Well, they create turnovers. They are doing that.
Are you creating turnovers? Because the Super Bowl winning teams create turnovers.
Well, you just dominate. I'm all about dominating. If you could just dominate, you can get three and outs. The teams can't move the ball on you. I'm for it. Like that's the way I like. That's what I like to see. Because you could tell when the defense, you know, it's ranked high, but you know they're not a dominant defense. All I care about is like being more physical up front and punishing your opponent. And that's when you watch the teams like the Baltimore Ravens, even though like they don't have like a Ray Lewis, but you see that brand of football. To me, that's a solid defense. I don't care what they're ranked.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like that's how I look at a good defense. Adrian, like I mentioned before, Adrian Peterson had 18 carries for 120 yards against the Packers. Currently, he's fifth in the NFL in rushing. Would you say Adrian Peterson is the best running back in the NFC East?
Absolutely not.
So you go with Zeke?
I go with Saquon Barkley.
Saquon ain't proven nothing yet. Not yet. I think eventually, but not yet, though. I'm going to go Saquon.
I mean, look, if you...
In the NFC, like, I'm talking about this season. I wouldn't say...
No, look, I can base off of... I know the production may not be there, yeah. But if you look at his running style, you look at...
I like Saquon Barkley.
How he finishes runs, you look at the swiftness, the cuts.
I like Saquon. No. You will never hear me talk bad about Saquon.
Zeke, to me, I
always feel like Zeke is beneficial when Zeke plays a particular way because that O-line is so stout.
Well, Zeke had a couple of – I watched a couple of his highlights. He had a couple of cutback runs.
No, he's not. I didn't say Zeke wasn't good. I just said that O-line makes him that much better. It's like, for instance, if you put
so this is the question.
Le'Veon Bell.
Or the egg, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's true, though. You're right. If you put Le'Veon Bell in that backfield, how much better is he than Zeke?
That's Le'Veon Bell, though, man.
I'm just saying. Like, I get it, but that's how they talk about Zeke, though. They act like Zeke is on par with a Le'Veon Bell. Or Gurley. Do you think Zeke is better than Gurley?
No.
Okay, so if Gurley's on with that line... It's insane. But the thing about it is you have people that will say that Zeke is better than Gurley.
I don't think you can fairly compare mm-hmm. both of them. I mean, if you're asking me which guy would I rather have, I'd rather have Todd Gurley. He's a more well-rounded back.
Yeah.
Catches mm-hmm. the ball. Not that Zeke can't Zeke, catch
Zeke
the ball.
Can catch the ball
he,
the back
does,
of, yeah.
he doesn't a lot.
Yeah, not like Gurley.
Yeah, that's not a prerequisite for him in that offense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Todd Gurley came out and showed last year that he was the total package, and the only thing that was holding him back was Jeff Fisher.
he does that to all, though, right? Jeff Fisher does that too.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher,
he did it to golf.
He did it to Eddie George when he was in Tennessee.
He sure did do that. Eddie
he
George,
ran
didn't he?
To Eddie George into the ground. And yeah. Eddie George also brought some of that on his
yeah,
cause self he runs,
run
he runs
team,
upright.
Yeah, I agree. So I posed the question before we go to break. I posed the question about Adrian Peterson if he's the best back in the NFC East. My man Dave on our Facebook page said Barkley. Thorne Coachman said, "Yep, AP's the best." And Tyrone Perry said, "AP, yeah."
Y'all some homers.
I need. some homers though, really?
Yeah,
though?
Homers, man.
You think so?
No, look, don't get me wrong.
AP, I mean, we're talking about Adrian Peterson
man.
Though.
He's a bad man, but
he's greatness. It's not. Are we like doubting greatness now though?
No, I'm not doubting greatness, but it's three games in.
Agreed. Three games. It's
I
early though.
Pause. It's
I know.
Pause.
I'm
Let's
with
take
you.
A pause on that one.
No, I'm with you. All right. We make our week 4 NFL picks after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. G-G-G-G-G-G.
You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts that'll freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing. Talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama. Better trust and believe them. In the cup where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's beep beep, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce him and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin'. Me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen. I be forever macking, hard codes and assassins. I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride. Check 'em out now. Ride, let's ride. Check 'em out now. We doing big pimpin', we spendin' cheese. Check 'em out now. Big pimpin' on BLAD. We doing big pimpin' up in NYC. It's just that jigga man, Pimp C and B-U-M-B. Yo, yo, yo. Big pimpin', spendin' cheese. We doing big pimpin' on BLAD.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T in the building. Ray Jeezy's out. No smart comments. Usually that's a guarantee when you went
out. Well, no, you know, look, usually. I haven't been here for a while, so I can't make those comments about Ray. But when I do start to come back consistently, then, you know,
that's your...
I'll go back to making my comments about Ray.
Hey, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. They have a great show. We have our weekly NFL Pick'em Challenge with them. Also, within their Yahoo group as well. We are...
Don't say we. Say who it is.
Sorry, Ray and I.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
They disincluded me.
No one did.
They disrespected me.
No one did that again.
That's why the first week of our fantasy football league, I thrashed him. Whoever it was, I don't know who he was, who made the picks. I really don't care. All I thought that week was total domination, and that's what I did.
I will say that we, in terms of our fantasy football league, Urban Sports League Fantasy Football League, Ray needs to step up. Ray wanted to. Ray got to step up. Like, I know you 2-1. I'm 2-1. Ray got to step up.
You know what's crazy? I actually didn't play a running back, and I only lost by 4 points.
Oh, you lost? Oh, because you were undefeated. Who's your running back? What running back you didn't play? Connor? You play Connor?
No, I had Connor, but then who?
He must have got hurt.
I dropped Chris Carson.
Yeah.
And I picked up Matt Bedrea.
Oh, you didn't put him? Oh.
But I didn't put him into the lineup.
Got you. No.
So we fly high. You got lucky.
Oh, that's Mike.
Oh,
that's Mike from the Solar Sports. I wish you did beat him.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah, he got lucky.
He got so lucky.
Yeah, he won by 4 points. So
oh, man.
I gifted you a victory.
Look, my man Will T. I'm gonna tell you this, Mike. My man Will T. gave you a victory. You didn't.
Merry
earn
Christmas.
It. Merry Christmas, bro. And
Happy
guess
Hanukkah.
And guess who you got
Happy
next?
Kwanzaa.
Guess who you got next? Me, barbecue chicken. What did Jameis Winston do with them W's? Here's a W. Here's a W.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing ever.
Hey, for week 3, Will went 6-10. For all that stuff you're talking about, hey, here you go. If you want to copy my picks, you went 6-10 last week. 6-10.
I have watched little to no football.
I know, I can tell. Ray and I went 7-9, so we weren't any better. So for all that talk,
exactly.
we weren't any better.
But on the year, what's the record?
Okay, I am in first place. 25-21-2. Ray is 24-22-1, and you're last with 23-23-2. Sorry, Ray is 24-22-2, and you're last with 23-23-2.
So I'm 2 games from first place.
Now you know how.
Game.
Yeah. Hey, you have an opportunity. You have a chance.
Yeah.
Everybody has a chance. It's the greatest thing about this pick thing. Everyone has a chance. Even I came back from like the bottom when you didn't make your picks.
Yep.
Hey, from the Football Garbage Time for last week, Scott and Joanne went 8-8. Ryan went 10-6, and Hakuman went 11-5. All right, here goes our week 4 games: Vikings versus the Rams.
Oh, I forgot. Let me get my picks.
Here we go again. This dude's about to do this again. Hey, I'm picking the Rams. I am picking the Rams. I'm not
going to give you the odds and all that stuff.
Oh.
I pick the Rams.
All right.
Ray picked the Vikings.
All right. Jets versus Jaguars.
Jaguars.
I am picking the Jags. Dolphins versus the Patriots.
And Ray picked the Jags also.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going with the Dolphins on this one.
Who the Ray pick? Are you with Dolphins as well? Okay. You going to Dolphins?
Yeah, I'm going with the Dolphins. Ray pick New England.
I got the Patriots. All right, Eagles versus the Titans.
Going with the Eagles. Ray picked the Eagles.
Ray got the Eagles. Who did I pick? I'm trying to look because I got the, you know, the pick. I'm going to copy my same picks. I think I chose the Eagles. I chose the Eagles. I don't trust Mariota. Texans versus the Colts.
I'm going with the Colts. Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
And
with,
Ray is going with the Colts.
Oh, yeah, Ray has the Colts. All right. Bills versus the Packers.
I'm going with the Packers.
I'm going with the Packers.
And Ray is going
with the Packers. With He's going with the Packers. Packers. He has to. Lions versus the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Lions. Ray won the Cowboys. I'm sure he did.
Oh, no, he went with Detroit.
He went with Detroit? Okay, wow. All right. Buccaneers versus the Bears.
Give me the Bears.
I've give me... Who did I pick? Give me the... I picked... Oh, give me the Bucks.
Put Ray with the Bears also.
All right. Bengals versus the Falcons.
I am going with the Falcons.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Ray went with the Falcons.
Of course. Seattle Seahawks versus the Cardinals.
Oh, give me Seattle.
Give me Seattle. Everyone has Seattle?
Yes.
Browns versus the Raiders.
Oh, give me the Browns.
Yeah, give me the Browns. Everyone has the Browns?
Yep.
I knew it. The Raiders are some garbage. John Gruden,
can we pause just for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. He's
the
an idiot.
The ego of this man.
What?
The ego.
Yes, but you know, no one saw that in his prior stint in Tampa, or even with the Raiders the first time.
The inability to evolve.
He's the same dude.
Like if I were Reggie McKenzie,
yeah,
I think I would quit.
Yeah,
Reggie McKenzie did a lot to clean up that roster, to create a surplus and cap space and bring in, even though they weren't the most talented guys, but to bring in some young talent.
Yeah.
And John Gruden has thrown that away one offseason.
He's messed it up. He's something else. He really is. Saints, Giants.
Oh, give me the Giants.
Who'd I pick? Who did Ray get?
Ray has the Giants.
Give me the Saints. Give me the Saints. Niners, Chargers. Give me the Chargers.
Give me Chargers. Ray has the Chargers.
Ravens, Steelers.
Give me the Ravens.
You got the Ravens?
Yep.
Give me the Ravens. Who do Ray has?
Steelers.
All right. Chiefs versus Broncos.
Ray and myself have the Chiefs.
Give me the Broncos. That's my upset special.
That's your upset special?
That's my upset special, and I'm sticking to it.
Patrick Mahomes is tearing it up.
Oh, he's a beast, though. I think he's a beast. Yesterday was media day for the Washington Wizards. Truth About It's Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton will join us to talk about the Wizards after break. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kiss to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Will T. Ray's out. Waiting on my man Troy to call in. Just call Troy. Got a non-answer. But
it's all good.
Yeah.
Man. We can still talk.
We can still talk about the Wizards. Yeah.
We talk about the incompetence of this front office. No, I actually want to give some level of kudos to Ernie Grunfeld.
For what? Do you like Dwight?
I think it has more upside than it does a floor.
Okay. Look, you keep talking.
No, just because, you know, there's a perception, whether it's true or not, that Dwight Howard is a chemistry killer and a locker room killer. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether those things are true are still left to be seen. You know, he has a 2-year contract. He's older. And hopefully he comes in and he says he wants to just be a winner. But he's also gone on record and said he's changing his game and he wants to play a little bit like Durant.
Like, I know, I heard that. Dwight Howard is on some other stuff. But right now, we have Truth About It's Washington Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton on the line. What's going on, Troy? Everything's gravy. Hold on, Troy. Audio's a little bit off. There you go. I got you. Hold on, Troy. Troy?
Yep.
Got you. Perfect. All right. So, Troy, you attended Media Day for the Wizards. What stood out to you?
Honestly, the thing that stood out to me is the fact that Dwight Howard is still he might not be an NBA superstar on the court, but off of the court, I mean, he still draws the attention of an NBA headlining act.
Okay.
So that kind of stood out to me.
Okay. So what about, so did John Wall or Bradley Beal, they say anything interesting in terms of being motivated? You know, usually John Wall has something to say like, hey, I'm the best point guard in the league. I'm the best player in the league. Or Bradley Beal is like, oh, I'm going to, you know, we're the best backcourt in the league. Did they say anything in terms of motivating themselves for the upcoming season?
Honestly, Wall and Beal showed a little bit of maturity that they haven't in the past couple of years as far as, you know, boasting and talking about, you know, all these hyperbolic terms of being the best backcourt in the league or being the best point guard in the league. You know, I think the both of them, Scott Brooks kind of let it off where he said that, you know, the team is done with the talking. And he I guess he instructed the team to kind of let that stuff go and that they have to prove it with their actions. And Beal and Wall both followed suit, even though Wall was asked a question about being ranked 32 in the Sports Illustrated poll. And he did say, you know, if there's 31 other players in the NBA, prove it. But, I mean, I think that he was asked the question specifically, and, you know, he gave a good answer. But I think that, you know, the days of them boasting about what they can do, I think those days are over, honestly.
Hey, Troy, this is Will. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing today?
I'm all right. I got a question for you. Why should fans of this team be optimistic about this team this year? What's different? We saw that the other Ted Leonsis team finally broke through. For so long, people were like, this is a young team, give them time. Now, is this the Wizards? Are they on the clock now with, you know, everyone having a higher level of expectation and waiting for this team to mature and make a deeper run in the NBA playoffs, especially with no LeBron in the East?
Well, I think this team is definitely on the clock. Because they're going to have one of the highest payrolls in the NBA. Mm. And Ted Leonsis kind of mentioned this last week where he said that, you know, there's no more excuses as far as, you know, having this team be able to compete for, you know, at a high level. I think another reason why fans should be optimistic is because for the first time in the last 8 years, you know, LeBron James is going to be out of the Eastern Conference. So the guy's been to the finals 8 years in a row. So literally somebody has to make it.
I know, right? Definitely someone has to make it. So Dwight Howard, you mentioned Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard mentioned a back injury yesterday. Like, I'm like, oh, no. Like, he had to deal with back injuries for most of his time outside of Orlando. What is it? What is this issue? And do you think this will be a problem when during the season?
Yeah, so pretty much Dwight said that his back was just sore. He tried to attribute it to traveling to China and playing, and he said the airplanes weren't made for 7 feet people. But, you know, I talked to a lot of people, you know, on the record and off the record yesterday, and people didn't really seem to be too concerned that he would be able to, that he would be missing time. You know, they started training camp this morning, and he did not practice today. He's listed as day-to-day, And I mean, he like I said, it didn't look like he was walking around like he was injured. So I honestly believe that the team is just being precautionary and holding him out to make sure that he's 100% by the time the season starts.
You think he's gonna fire off some threes?
Honestly, I do not think that Dwight Howard is going to be shooting any 3 points this season. I think that he's a jokester, and he says a lot of things. And I think that we as media members have to learn, you know, to be able to kind of decipher when he's being serious and when he's not.
Well, Troy, one more question for you from can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. We know that Jimmy Butler is on a trading block, right? This team currently constructed, I don't think, can make a deep run. Do you think that there's a possibility that this team could trade Otto Porter, get from up under that bloated contract for Jimmy Butler, even though we know that Jimmy Butler may walk next year, and you go kind of all in, kind of like what Toronto was doing, and say, all right, we're going to swap out Otto for Jimmy Butler, and we try to make a deep run. Do you think that's something that's plausible for this team?
I honestly do not see that in the future for this team. I think that, you know, like I said, when Ted Leonsis mentioned last week that, you know, that the time is now and that, you know, there are no more excuses, I think that he's fully committed to that payroll for this current roster. So I don't think that he's looking to look for cap relief or looking to, you know, take another gamble. I think that he honestly believes that this group that he's assembled has a chance to take it to the next level. And if, you know, Ted Leonsis also owns the Capitals. So he just literally witnessed a team that could not get over the hump for years in the playoffs finally break through and win the Stanley Cup.
Well, let me.
So, you know, in his mind, he believes that, you know, why not the same thing can happen to the Wizards?
Let me ask you this: when you say breakthrough, you mean breakthrough and make it to the NBA Finals, or you mean breakthrough and get past the second round?
I mean breakthrough and get past the second round, win 50 games that they haven't won since 1978. And, you know, I think that honestly, that every team on media day is as optimistic as, you know, they possibly can be. So championship or bust is not, you know, it's not realistic.
Well, I mean, there's, well, let from your perspective, this team is going to be paying their top three players, what, 90 million or close to 90 million next year? How do you add to a roster where you're paying your top, well, you're not your top three, you're playing three of your players almost 60 or 70% of the cap going forward?
Honestly, there is no way to add other talent to that mix.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
But I will say this. I honestly believe that If it doesn't work again, the player that you will see moved won't be Otto Porter. It will not be Bradley Beal, but rather John Wall.
Ooh, Troy, you dropping bombs.
No, I can.
Yeah, I mean,
he brings up an interesting
point. I'm sitting here, Wally. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you this. When I start looking at that Wizards payroll, and you got 2022, and you got John Wall ready to make $35 million, is then $37 million the next year. I mean, if you want to cut salary, I think that he's honestly the player that I would probably try to move because of the fact that there's almost no way that in those years where he's going to be making $35+ million that he'll be worth that amount of money.
He in my opinion, he probably won't be, but I looked at it from a different perspective. The reason why I think John Wall will probably be the player most likely to be moved is just because of his representation. Clutch Sports, Rich Paul, LeBron James. At a certain point, John Wall, he's alluded to this in his past. He isn't getting the just due that he feels he deserves in D.C. So maybe he goes somewhere to another market or he teams up with another superstar where he feels as if he can expand his brand and his light will shine a little bit brighter than it will in DC. So maybe it's not the team tries to move him. Maybe it's John Wall requests a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely an option too. And John Wall has definitely complained about his lack of branding and being an NBA superstar in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clutch sports thing is there's always an angle there, and I could honestly see you know, Rich Paul trying to get all his clutch clients out there to LA
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Me too. I can see that too, definitely with the unibrow. Before, he's not a unibrow anymore. He cut that thing off.
No, he still got the unibrow.
Okay, I thought I saw a video.
Trademark.
I thought I saw a video when he cut that thing off. All right, so Troy, before I let you go, let our listeners know about Truth About It and how they can catch your content on social media.
Okay, yeah. All right, so Truth About It is the ESPN Truth Washington Wizards blog. We've been covering the NBA, covering the Wizards for Cal. We actually started the site in 2009. I joined the site in 2015.
Uh-huh.
So you can find my work on, I usually post everything I have on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Troy Halibur, Halibur. Yeah, and we got a good team of people. Shout out to Rashad Mobley, who also contribute to the site for the season. And yeah, I mean, the thing is, the thing that I really enjoy about the Truth About It team
mm-hmm.
is the fact that, you know, we have the opportunity to go to pretty much every Wizards game. So, and I think that there is this thing in with NBA coverage where you have people, you know, talking about the inner workings of the organization, but they're really never there. So if you want to know about, you know, what's really going on, people who are really talking to, you know, not people behind the scenes, coaching staff, trainer, you know, like we're there, like literally every game. So I think that it's given a kind of a grassroots perspective that is kind of being lost in the sports world right now.
Yeah, man. Hey, Troy, you're doing big things, man. You know, I love your content, my man. You already know that.
I appreciate that, Wally, man. You know, I love you guys' content, too. So, I mean, you, the pod that you did with my man Armand, around everything that you all did surrounding the fight coverage, I mean, that, yeah, you all literally just got me, like, up to speed, educated on that Triple G Canelo fight. Like, that was perfect, honestly.
Oh,
so,
I appreciate you, my man.
Honestly, hold on.
Go ahead.
Did you know Armand before?
No, I met him at your function, my man.
Hey, that was the whole purpose of that.
Yeah.
So I think that there's this space, this community of people on the internet
mm-hmm.
who, you know, are real live sports fans. And I wanted to bring that, you know, to real life. It's like bringing the internet to real life. That's why I had people put their Twitter handles on the name tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there have been so many different relationships that have spawned from that. And I can honestly say that that was the exact purpose of what I wanted to do. And like that really just made me happy, man.
Oh, it definitely worked. I met so many cool people from that experience and that networking event. I had a good time. You know what I mean? It was
hey,
awesome.
Man, I appreciate that. We're gonna try to organize something else before the Wizards season gets back started up.
Oh, you know I'm in there.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, we in there.
Yeah. That's what's up. So then I'll be able to get a chance to meet Will.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Troy.
All right, no problem, man. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it, Troy.
Appreciate you, my man.
Yeah.
Again, that is my man, Troy Halliburton, from Truth About It. .net, and he covers the Washington Wizards, and he gives you great content. Again, great content, and great guy too.
Yeah, appreciate him, Troy. Seems like a cool guy, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm gonna try.
You should look, man. He's a regular brother, bro. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna try to make it out to the next one.
Hey,
man.
Definitely,
you
man.
Gotta drive though.
I will drive. I drove last time.
All right,
I drive.
Got
to the
that
city.
One off the table.
Exactly. Jimmy Butler once. Out of Minnesota, and Steven Jackson gets real with Andrew Wiggins. We'll talk about that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
been through it all, man. Blood, sweat, and tears. Ziggy's dead and shit. The fuck else could happen, yo? Don't think much more, son. Seen it all, we've been through it all, yo. That's how I feel right now. Yo, the mother for real, for real.
Queen B, baby.
True.
Lil' Kim. B.I.G.
I'm lying.
Yo, yo. Blowing with rusty ass German things. Keeping the thorough as I motherfucking claim the fame. Throwing your wetsuit when it rains and pours and all. Hit them with the fall, don't even know them from a hole in the wall. Get at me, you wanna clap me. Snitches wanna rap me, put it right where they back
me. Keep my stuff, which I know about that, man. Mob Deep, Quiet Storm, bruh. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, Ray's out. Mentioned my man, Jimmy Butler, guard Jimmy Butler. Wants to be traded away from the Minnesota Timberwolves. He wants to go to the Nets, the Knicks, or the Clippers. What are your thoughts, and where should Jimmy Butler go?
I mean, to me, and this isn't meant to be disrespectful to Jimmy Butler,
yeah,
or anything. But when I think of players demanding their way out of a mm-hmm. contract, out of a city,
mm-hmm.
I think of bona fide superstars.
Yes.
Bona fide superstars.
Totally agree with you. You're
Jimmy
going the
Butler
same way I'm going
is
with.
All-star player.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler is a guy that can help you win.
Yes, he can.
Jimmy Butler is one of the better two-way players in the league.
Sure, yeah.
I respect Jimmy Butler's grind from a second-round pick
mm-hmm.
to an all-star.
Yeah.
An all-NBA performer.
Yeah.
And an Olympian.
Mm-hmm. And a guy who you can count on down the stretch in clutch situations, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to the point where Jimmy freaking Butler is making a power play.
It's a problem.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with the NBA, but it's just It just goes to show you
yeah.
that the players in the NBA who are at a star level are exerting a level of power that we've never seen before.
I'm with you that as good as Jimmy Butler is, like I look at Jimmy Butler, if you're trying to win a championship, right? A championship.
Jimmy Butler's probably your third best player, in my opinion.
Yeah, and depending on who the superstar is, he's your second best player, and that's yeah. fine. If he's playing with LeBron, that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. Then you can win a championship. But now when you get to a point where you're talking about a power play, right? You're demanding a trade. Now you're looking at Jimmy Butler. You feel that Jimmy Butler thinks of himself as a guy that can carry a team over the top, right?
Yes.
Like as the star, as the focal figure, because he wants to go to the Knicks, the Clippers, right? The Knicks, Clippers, and the Nets.
Yeah. Well, in the Knicks, he's not going to be the best player.
Yeah, because when Porzingis.
You have Porzingis.
But that's, I guess that's his mindset, though, right? His mindset, regardless of what we think, right? As basketball fans, we think that Porzingis has the chance to be a superstar, right? We both think that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler's viewing it like, I'm going to be the man in New York. You dig what I'm saying? Like, that's how he's looking at it.
And
if you're an organization, Jimmy Butler can't be your best player if you think you're going to win a championship. He could be a piece. So if you're trading Jimmy Butler to say, let's say you trade Jimmy Butler to the Lakers, not to say that that's going to happen. Like, okay, he's playing with LeBron. You're trading Jimmy Butler to the Houston Rockets.
I'll give you the perfect example. Let's say, because he's pulled it off before, Sam Presti was able to.
Yes.
Pull off a trade for Jimmy Butler without giving up Russell Westbrook
or Paul George. Great situation.
That's definitely a team that I would say can contend for a spot in the NBA Finals,
yes.
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because you have
all three are vets.
Yep.
So there's no issue with youngsters.
You have two guys that are two of the better, both two-way players in the league, and you have a dynamo in Russell Westbrook.
Who's a good defender, too.
Absolutely.
He's, yeah, yeah.
When he wants to.
You know what I'm saying? When he wants to.
But for me, from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
this is my perspective. Jimmy Butler, who's 29 years old, who wants a max 5-year contract, $190 million. There's no way I'm making that.
I'm not making that investment in
Jimmy Butler. I'm not.
If I'm the Knicks or the Nets. Or the Clippers, I'm not making that trade. Like, what do I have to give up what to get him? You know what I mean? Like, why would I want to give up? It's the same thing.
If I'm the Knicks and I have to give up Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, then that's fine.
And maybe Courtney Lee.
That's fine.
I'm fine with that. But I'm not giving up a first. I'm not giving up a young asset.
But
none of that.
But Minnesota's not going to want that, though. from what I've heard, I don't think they're gonna. They would want a Tim Hardaway and a Courtney Lee. They want something better.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm not.
If I just realize out of the three teams that he named,
yeah,
the team that probably best fits what Minnesota would be looking for in return would be the Clippers.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris, maybe a Lou Williams, give him, now, and then a 2 second rounders or maybe a first rounder.
I think Tobias is just as not. I'm not going to say Tobias is just as good as Jimmy Butler, but Tobias low key is a beast. He's a low key beast.
Tobias is a piece.
A beast, like in terms of a score.
Yeah, he's a piece for a team that wants to contend for a spot in the playoffs.
Exactly.
If you're building a championship squad, Tobias Harris is probably your third or fourth best player.
Agreed.
And you're winning a championship. Yeah. If he's your fourth best player,
you're winning a championship. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trading Jimmy. That's why I had an issue with the Chicago Bulls Minnesota trade. I was like, the Bulls got so much off of getting Jimmy Butler.
Absolutely. Part of it was because of who the coach and the GM is.
And that's a problem too.
To me, Tibbs to me is like Parcells.
Yes.
He has Tibbs guys. Parcells had Parcells guys.
Agreed.
Tibbs has guys that are his guys. Mm-hmm. That's why you see him bringing Derrick Rose along.
Yeah.
He's bringing Luol Deng.
He brought Luol Deng back. He's got Gibson.
Taj Gibson. So he has guys that are his guys.
Oh, he's going to get Noah, too. Watch. Yeah. He'll get Noah.
Once the Knicks buy him out and stretch his contract, Noah will find a space in Minnesota.
So, it's serious.
Yeah, but if I'm Jimmy Butler, look, Tibbs runs his players into the ground.
Yes. Look what he did to Rose. Yeah. I mean, so it's the proof is in the pudding. You know what I mean?
I mean, but I guess if they're there in Minnesota with him, they like playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in terms of where should he go? My boy Troy Perry on Facebook said Toronto for Lowry, Jimmy Teague, and a cap filler. And he has Milwaukee with Teague for Bledsoe and Snell.
I mean, that could possibly work, but I don't think you're gonna get Teague
and Butler.
And Butler. Cap number to match for one. Two, if he does go to Milwaukee, it would have to be built around Chris Middleton for Jimmy Butler, and then
Chris Middleton would have to be involved in that trade for me.
Yeah. But the Toronto one, that's an interesting.
Yeah, I think Lowry can get traded easy.
That's interesting from the standpoint of, okay, if I'm I can't even pronounce the present. Yuri.
If I get rid of
Kyle Lowry, right? Maybe I'm able to convince Jimmy, you know, him and Kawhi Leonard. Those are two guys that play both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Their games will complement each other, right?
They would definitely.
Let's say, you know, if I'm him, I possibly do it because look, if Kawhi doesn't sign back or if Jimmy Butler doesn't sign back, I've went all in and I gave it my best shot. So now it's time to rebuild.
Yeah, and that's basically what he's doing with Kawhi anyway, right?
Yep.
That's what it is. It's like, okay, I'm going all in, and we don't win, I'm blowing this crap up.
Yep, I'll get rid of Kyle Lowry.
Yeah,
sooner rather than later. I don't know who's going to take that contract.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'll find a way. He might have to add some of those younger core players, and then maybe some second round picks. But somebody will take that contract.
Definitely. But it's time we're pushing up on the break. Up next, Wood of Bite Down Boxing will join the show to talk about Anthony Joshua TKOing Povetkin. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Explosion. Overpowering. Over the competition. I'm towering. Wreck his shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally, Will T, Raise Out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Excuse me. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Leave a comment, anything, you know, and follow us, like us, and share it too. Share our Facebook page. Right now, we have Wood of Bite Down Boxing, who's doing some no-nonsense, unbiased boxing analysis videos on the Pay Me No Mind YouTube channel. What's up, Wood?
What's good, Urban Sports Scene?
How is everything, man? You doing big things. We've seen you everywhere. You know, you've been at multiple boxing venues. You know, you in the Barclay. You know, you're doing big things from last time I talked to you.
You know, from being inspired by guys like yourself. Very early on, you gave me some time and responded to some emails and some texts and got me together with some equipment options and, just said, get out there and go get it. So I appreciate that. That encouragement.
Oh man, but you're doing big things. Ain't nothing about me. It's God and it's God and your hard work and the blessings that you provide. There ain't nothing.
Y'all pushed me out of the major sports and said, let me get over here in this little niche bag.
I know that's right, my man. Hey, so in Wembley Stadium, heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua TKO'd Alexander Povetkin in the 7th round. What did you think of the fight?
You know, I was a little down on Anthony Joshua for a number of different reasons, not many of them being for reasons inside of the ring, but coming off of that Joseph Parker unification fight where he spoke about finesse boxing, I had the horrible look on my face to hear finesse boxing come from a heavyweight champion who was typically a guy that we referred to as the baddest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so it was awesome to see him coming into the ring looking motivated. He had called out the 8th round, a la, Muhammad Ali and others from the past. And it seemed like he started out with the intention of, securing that prediction. And so I thought it was phenomenal. And I also liked the fact that Povetkin, which I kind of predicted, and I didn't get a fight piece up, an article up and write down, mm-hmm. boxing.com, because I was working on something. But in my last podcast, I mentioned that I really thought Povetkin being the shorter man, being, not having many more opportunities at this stage or on this stage, I really felt like he was going to shoot his shot. And I felt like he acted on what I saw in Joshua being a bit of a slow starter. And kind of being passive, and he tried to take advantage of that, and had some success early on.
But he sure did, though. He caught him early, and it looked like he had him. He could have had him, like, not that he couldn't have had him, but he caught him late at the end of the first round with that punch and caught Joshua off guard. And it wasn't Joshua's best fight, but yeah, Povetkin was definitely game, and Joshua stepped up. He stepped up when he needed to.
Correct. I think it might have been, maybe top three-ish, top five-ish performances. I mean, Povetkin was a very experienced fighter, mm-hmm. International talent. He had success as an amateur. He was a gold medal winner. So it was he had a lot of, experience, a big experience advantage on Joshua. And I think Joshua kind of struggles with smaller, more agile guys. Yeah. And I think that Povetkin would have given Deontay Wilder a little bit of trouble.
Oh,
a lot of trouble, actually.
Oh, you think Povetkin would give Wilder some the business?
I didn't say business. I just used the word in my mouth. I just think that, part of the criticism with Joshua being a slower starter, mm-hmm. Deontay Wilder is also a slower starter, as evidenced against Gerald Washington and Luis Ortiz. Mm-hmm. So I think he would have had a similar attack on Wilder, kind of studying and interpreting, what's going on in front of him. And I think he would have caused him some problems.
Mm. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have would have bite down boxing with us. So obviously you mentioned Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. He's lurking. So after watching this fight, did this sway your opinion on how Joshua would match up against Wilder at all?
So this is kind of like the Fast and the Furious when they're doing the racing and they're doing the side by side and they keep hitting the gear shift and Dom goes up 20 yards and then my man that passed away, Walker, he hits the shift and then he pulls in the front and we think his car is better. And that's what's going to continue to happen until these two actually collide and meet in the ring. With each performance, we're going to think each man looks better because, you know, we're kind of prisoners to that moment. So this didn't really move the needle to me because I think where both fighters are in their progression or development as fighters, I think we still have like two polar opposites. And so we really don't know anything until we see them in the ring with one another, handling the pressure of facing one another and everything that's built up to that point. So it didn't really move the needle for me. And I don't think anything that Wilder would do December 1st against Tyson Fury, I don't think he could do much that would push me more in favor of him.
Okay, so when Wilder does beat Fury, because he will be Fury.
That's not guaranteed.
You don't think it's a guarantee?
No, I mean.
Hold on, because Will's here. Hold on.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Wood, you heard me?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I think Wilder wins, but I don't think it's a guarantee because I think Tyson Fury, even though he's 6'9" and he looks overweight, he has great lateral movement and he has great upper body movement also. So it'll be a test for Deontay Wilder, especially if Tyson Fury gets on the inside. We saw what happened against Lewis King Kong
Ortiz
when Deontay Wilder decided to stand toe-to-toe and fight on the inside with a guy who's a heavy hitter. I don't know how much power Tyson Fury has left in him since he took a 3-year hiatus out of the ring. But I think it's, you know, anyone who thinks this is a cakewalk for Deontay Wilder going in against Tyson Fury, I think they, from my opinion, they're mistaken.
I wouldn't totally disagree with that. Because Fury did it. I mean, he was the lineal champion, beat the man to become the man. He had all of the belts, that Joshua now holds. So there's some proof there for us to be encouraged that that's going to be a good fight. But that type of hiatus, some of the personality and the issues that, you know, the troubles that he's experienced, I just don't know how much confidence I can have in him. And I also feel like with Wilder only having that WBC title, with the fight looming to happen or, you know, looking like it's going to happen across the pond, with him not having many chips in that, you know, in that bargaining and that negotiation whatsoever, I feel like Wilder is going to be pressed to go out there and look great against Fury and kind of compound the situation for Fury and not in his favor.
So, and I mean, I got my two boxing pros here right now. So,
not a pro. I'm just a,
you know what,
regular
I mean?
Joe, man.
Stop downplaying yourself. You're frustrating me, man. All right, stop downplaying yourself. So, if Wilder wins, I'm gonna take that route for you, Will. If Wilder wins, do you guys think, is this fight definitely happening next year?
Allegedly, I mean, you know, fight should have happened this month, in my opinion. I never understand why promoters think they need to let the fight bubble sizzle some more. We've seen, history has shown us times where, you know, promoters have tried to wait until a fight gets bigger for only that fight to fizzle out because of one of the guys loses. But I do think this fight happens in across the pond in Wembley Stadium. And if it does happen in Wembley Stadium, the only way that Deontay Wilder is walking out of there with a W is he's going to have to go in there and get a knockout.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the tricky thing at the moment is that a couple of sites are reporting that Eddie Hearn the head of Matchroom Boxing, Joshua's promoter, is that they're insisting upon a deal being made before December 1st. So I think that could really derail us getting this fight, I mean, the fight we all want next, adding more more hindrance to that fight is the fact that there's talks of some kind of rematch clause between Fury and Deontay Wilder. So I still think it's a lot of red tape for us to sort through, as it always is in boxing, as Will just alluded to. And I just kind of see this fight happening maybe in the second half of 2019.
Well, I just needed to happen. So hey, before we let you go, would let our listeners know about Bite Down Boxing and how they can check out your content on social media as well.
So this is kind of complicated for anybody that might be sitting up drinking. I'm still listening to y'all, but I'm really trying to steer a lot of my coverage to the Pay Me No Mind channel. And if you're familiar with a YouTube channel, and if you're familiar with the recent changes on YouTube, you would know that now you need 1,000 subscribers or 4,000 hours to monetize your website. Mm. So when I kicked off BiteDownBoxing.com a couple of months ago, I just didn't see any sense in starting from zero when I was only at 200 subscribers anyway. So that's why the BiteDown Boxing videos are at on the Pay Me No Mind YouTube channel. And then also you can check out the Bite Down Boxing podcast. You can just Google Team Left Jab. Team Left Jab is about 12, 15 different boxing podcasts on there. And it's downloadable on all platforms.
Hey, Wood, man, much appreciated. Hopefully we have you on again for a big boxing segment. Hopefully the next big boxing fight. What's the next big fight?
Oh, man, it's a couple out there. I don't want to stumble through them, but what I do want to say is I hope to talk to you guys if we get this Gary Russell Jr., which salute to you guys on your few interviews with him. His commentary on the backstory between him and Lomachenko very, very insightful and phenomenal.
Thank you.
But if we get Russell Jr. and Santa Cruz, that's going to be awesome.
Okay, that's the fight. Yeah, we definitely want to see that fight. That's the fight we definitely want. But hey, Wood, man, thanks again, man. Appreciate you, my man.
Hey, thanks for the time, and you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate you, man.
Be blessed, man.
Again, that's my man, Wood, from Bite Down Boxing. Make sure you check his content out. Yeah, like I said, he's everywhere. Wood is everywhere. He's doing big things.
Yes, but Wood is everywhere. you
really, though?
Yes.
I like that one, dog. I like that, man. Wood is everywhere.
It is.
Yeah, it is, man. You should. Hey, everyone. Every chick should love some wood.
See, there you go, man. You had to take.
Hey, I want to play this clip.
Ran back 20 yards. Hey, got a head start. And
I can't help it, man.
Over.
Hey, before we end the show, we'll play a clip of Mega on his birthday.
I think the offense is very similar when McNabb was younger, you know, but now Vic has and Andy Reid both had explosive wide receivers, and it's an up-tempo offense, which I really like, but I was impressed with the Philly defense by holding the Colts down, especially Asante Samuel. He has Peyton Manning's number ever since he's back in New England.
Look, Megan knows sports, man.
Yeah, he did.
He did. He sure did, man. Anyway, you've been listening to Urban Sports saying for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie. Happy birthday, my man.